We all know those stories, don't we? We joke about them every year when it comes to the fall, and now we can joke about them at Christmas as well, because yes, the Spirit Store is now doing Spirit of Christmas. You can find those temporary holiday stores setting up near you, and apparently some of them have stayed open. I haven't spotted one of these yet, but at least in select locations, you can find a Christmas store and not just a Halloween store. But it's sort of an interesting phenomenon when you think about it, this whole Spirit Store. It's turned into an internet meme and joke. If you want a joke that, say, a politician's failing or some other public figure or some business that still open isn't going to be open much longer, what do? You Photoshop a spirit banner over the storefront or over the person. Because what do we know about these stores? They go in places that have closed. And sure, plenty of stores open in places that previously closed, but they usually put up a permanent sign and redecorate the inside and turn it into a store that will remain open. But the whole point of Spirit Stores is they're temporary. They show up in, say, August or so, open up and start selling Halloween supplies, and now they can stay open and sell Christmas thereafter, but they depart after that. And so they'll rope off part of the store. You can walk in, and if you've been in that store back when it was whatever it was before, you'll still see some of the familiar signage in the back, maybe even the logos of the old company behind the shelving that's been put up to sort of barricade you into the part that Spirit is using. It's temporary. And it's not terribly satisfying. You might find a great deal on a Halloween costume or inflatable for your yard for Christmas or whatever it might be, some holiday thing, but you don't say, oh, wow, I'm so glad this new store opened up in my neighborhood, because what do you know? Give it a few weeks, it'll be gone. It's not permanent. Well, we've been in Hebrews the last few weeks here on Steadfast. Welcome to Steadfast. It's so great to have you here tonight. And as we've been exploring Hebrews chapter 1, what we're thinking about is how do we move from that which is impermanent, that's passing, even if it is officially something for a time, the Spirit of the Lord has been placed on a person as a prophet for a time or in an action for a time, to God's final, complete, knowable revelation. Because even if God speaks through someone, it's not as satisfying as to know that he has spoken to us directly. That is permanent. And what we're told here is that the miracle of Christmas is all about God coming into the world in such a way that is permanent and lasting. It won't pass. We desperately need that. Let's pray tonight as we dig into verse 2 that we would absorb that truth more and be prepared to share it with others more. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word, for your grace that you give to us. Lord, would you help us to understand more fully how you do speak with permanence. You speak with a truth that lasts. You've shown yourself that because we've encountered the Lord himself on this earth, and he has walked on this earth, that he has suffered for us on this earth and died and triumphed over death, that we speak of something knowable because it's permanent. Someone who is knowable because he is permanent. Lord, would you guide us to sense that comfort and to live in that comfort more today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you're here tonight. Incidentally, if you'd hit that share button and that like button that you see below the video right now, you could help someone else jump into this live stream, because we're talking about God's lasting and permanent truth, but we're only here together for a few minutes, and so encouraging someone else to hop on and study it with us, join in the chat, it's a great way to say, let's study what really lasts together. Because sometimes people just need that extra nudge, and you can give it. Well, if you're talking about the Spirit Store, you need that nudge because it's not going to be there very long, right? And throughout history, God would speak in different times and different places. That's what we were told in verse 1. And he'd speak for a time, but 100 years later, you couldn't go to Moses and say, hey, Moses, what do you have to say now? Because Moses only lived a definite period of time. Elijah was only on earth for a definite period of time. Elisha, and so on. We can go down the list. But while Jesus was only on earth for a certain period of time, what do we know? God sent his Spirit then to continue to speak to us the truth of the incarnation, that all who trust in Jesus receive God's Spirit, and we have in him a permanent revelation. We don't need more to be revealed. We don't need a prophet to show up today to tell us what to believe. We can look at God's word, see that Jesus came, see who he is, and then God's Spirit applies that truth to our hearts and comforts us. That's what we need. Take a look. We're going to go ahead and pull up verse 2. We started this last week. We looked at, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. But now we're going to look at the latter half of this verse, starting with the first part of the latter half. We're going to break this down because there's a lot going on here. Whom he appointed the heir of all things. Jesus is the heir of all things, we're told. And so what we see is that Jesus is the right one. If you're driving around trying to find a store, you look for that sign and you see the sign that matches what you're looking for, you say, that's the right one. If you're looking for seasonal decor at the right time of the year and you see the spirit sign, that might be the right one at that time. And if, on the other hand, you see Spirit of St. Louis Cleaners, that's somewhere around here, I know I've seen that sign. Well, you know, that's not the right one because they're going to clean your clothes. They're not going to decorate your home. You look for the right one. Jesus is the right one. He's, we're told, the heir of the Father. And so in that, the point being, what we've been talking about during Sunday School Express, Jesus is the inheritor, the heir of the messianic title, the rightful ruler of the earth. So he inherits both that human line, the Davidic line, the line from David, the promise that God had given to King David, that there would always be a descendant of his on the throne, and also the rightful glory of the Father. He's the right and true king. So we're trying to figure out who really should be in charge, whom we really should listen to in life, and there's an awful lot of debate on that, isn't there? Well, there's really only one genuinely right answer. And thankfully, he's the one that always is the right answer, and is always faithful in that answer. We're going to break this down. This is the first of a bunch of different attributes that the author of Hebrews is going to go through to say, yes, the Son is the final revelation of the Father, the complete revelation of the Father. And here's why you can know that. Here's what you're going to know from that. First, he's the heir. He's the one in charge. John Calvin makes the point that this is really speaking to the human nature of Jesus, because Jesus comes into the world and then takes on that title of promised one, the suffering servant, the Messiah, all these Old Testament prophecies. By coming into the world, Jesus assumes that. And we see that arc I referenced last night, Philippians 2, that promise that he humbled himself and will be the name that every knee will bow because he humbled himself. Well, Jesus comes into the world, humbles himself, receives that title, saying, yes, Jesus is fully God, so he comes into the world as God, but even as a human being, he's exalted by what he does. He is the one we should listen to. There's no other ruler, no other leader, no other influencer, no other celebrity, no other figure that we can look to whom we should listen to more than Jesus. And that's all contained in the fact that he's the heir. Because if there's one heir of the God of all power and glory, well, wouldn't it make sense he's the one we should listen to? The people of the time kept hoping for a true king and ruler. Here he was. And we keep hoping for a true leader, a true ruler, someone who will take on our battles for us and do what we need and really come through for us. Well, we already have him. And like people then, we often find ourselves keeping on yearning. And the author of Hebrews says, you don't need to. He's already come. He's here. Lots of people throughout the ages have tried to appear to be that figure. King Herod, whom we encounter in the story of Christmas. He's obviously not a good guy. But he wanted to be seen as a good guy. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't really a claimant to the promise of David. He couldn't be the true and rightful king of the Jews, but he wanted to pretend he was. He wanted people to see him as that and give him the respect of that. And so he did things like enhanced the appearance of the temple and tried to make it more glorious. But all the gilding in the world that he added to something, no matter how fine the metals he used, no matter how grand the architecture, no matter how extravagant, could ever make him the true and rightful ruler. Certainly not the one everyone should put their hopes in. That's been true over the ages. Over the ages, again and again and again, leaders have tried with their cunning words, tried with their shows of power and glory or beautiful buildings or whatever it might be to say, I'm the one you should listen to. Jesus came and said, I could tear down that building. But the real temple is the one that'll be torn down and rebuilt in 3 days. God himself in the flesh coming into the world and taking on sin for us. We don't need someone to build a big building or to say the right words or to accomplish the right legislation or anything else. We need someone who takes on our sins. About that, all the other stuff comes up empty, exactly like it did for Herod the Great. He might have been Herod the Great. He might have been powerful in his time, even if he was just a client puppet king of the Roman Empire. He certainly had plenty of comfort and glory for himself. But he wasn't going to provide any genuine hope. So many things that are vying for your and my sense of, here's the right one, the one I should follow, the one I should trust, the thing I should trust, the thing I can hold my life to. There's only one heir of the Father. Jesus came authoritatively into this world like nothing else ever could. There were other leaders, there were other messiahs, right? We have David, he's the anointed one. In other words, the Messiah, that's what Messiah means. There were other kings in that line that were anointed. They couldn't ultimately be the authoritative answer. And even when God was working through them, they were going to be a partial answer for a fraction of time. But here, as we're being told that, yes, God spoke through these different ways before, but now he's spoken finally and completely through his son. You can't get any bigger, better, more authoritative than the actual heir. There's nothing fuller. Have you ever had that awful feeling you go, maybe you filled up your car at the gas pump, and then you reach into your wallet, your pocket, pull out your wallet, flip it open, pull out the credit card, and you stick it in and it doesn't work. And then you try it again and it doesn't work. Anything. Well, maybe put it backwards, try it a different way. Maybe it needs one of those, and you put it in differently because it's the chip now. It doesn't work. And then you get the sinking feeling and you look at it and you say, oh, wait, it expired. It's a new month, isn't it? And I just was sent a new card, and it's not the one I have. Well, for the time it was good, that was the authoritative version of my account. I could take it someplace, and it could do everything with the full power of that account. But once it hits the expiration date, it's a worthless piece of plastic. It won't do anyone any good anywhere. Need the new one. I think sometimes even when we realize that someone is speaking authoritatively for the Lord, maybe even Jesus, you think, well, but what about now? What about what we need to hear from God now? Was there an expiration date? Did Jesus expire? And maybe even 100 years after his death, maybe in 133 AD, there was an expiration on the Jesus card. But take a look at what goes on in the last part of verse 2. Through whom also he created the world. To prove what's true going forward, the author of Hebrews goes backward. And he says, I want you to understand something. Yes, there were these other prophets that came, but they weren't really the authoritative answer even then. Jesus is the heir as he's writing this, but Jesus was always the heir. Jesus was always the authoritative one with all the glory. We're going to get more into glory next week. Because, not only in the incarnation, not only after the miracle of Christmas is Jesus the one who has authority, but going all the way back to the beginning of the world, Jesus has had that authority. There have been others who've come who've spoken, yes, the Spirit of the Lord was placed upon them. That banner was there temporarily. And God spoke through them. Absolutely. But they were never the authoritative answer. They've always been speaking for Jesus. Because he was the one all the way back at the beginning. You can't even speak of a beginning before Jesus. He always was. And by extension, then, if we just think about that for a moment, it gives us a sense of who he is now as well. If we're looking for, well, what's today's 21st century answer to questions? And sometimes people say that, right? The Bible's old. Why do I need to hear from it now? And it was being updated, right? There were new prophets and new authors and all the way up to the New Testament. And then it just stops. What's the 21st century version? Well, the 21st century is the first century version. Why? Because at that point, God revealed himself fully. We actually encountered God in the flesh. You can't get any better than that. He's not only the heir at that time. There isn't going to be another heir. There wasn't an heir before him. Jesus is the heir. And in that, it gives us a sense of what it means that we're using this title heir. We tend to think of it mostly in terms of who inherits stuff in a will, right? So most of the time, we probably don't walk around saying, yeah, I'm the heir of such and such. Only it comes up, someone passes, and you're trying to figure out, well, who's supposed to get this and who's supposed to get that? But in that time period, it was much more about having the authority of, for example, the firstborn son. And so heir wasn't so much a consequence of inheritance that the father was for a time and now he's passed the torch on to the son or something like that, but rather to say the son has the authority of the father. That he is the one at the throne. Because the author of Hebrews isn't really interested in placing Jesus in a certain time period succession, but rather to say he's the one. The spotlight's on him. There's no one else. Herod can't claim it. Pilate can't claim it. Future and past Roman empires and their emperors can't claim it. No one can claim it. Only Jesus. Always was the case. And always will be the case. Because what do we know about the one who creates? Well, we can see throughout the Old Testament, not as clearly as we see in the New Testament, but when the creation is being spoken of, what do we see? God's Spirit is in creation and God's wisdom is in creation. And John makes it explicit. We're going to talk about this more on Sunday during the sermon. John makes it very explicit. When he talks about the word, he's referring back to what we're told back in Proverbs, that the one who is with the Father in creation, God's wisdom, is God the Son. He created, he is the fullness of divine wisdom, the fullness of whom it is that God is. So there isn't anything else that you can go looking for. He created everything, including time. So we can't talk about when he originates because he created originating. Sounds kind of silly to say, but it's the truth. If there is no time, if there isn't a sequence of events yet, you can't even talk about when did he come into existence or when did he become heir. He created the sense that we can even talk in those sorts of terms. He simply is. And so this is the important thing. No one could be writer. Make up another silly word. No one could be writer in Jesus. You can't find a right one for now in the same sense that Jesus was the right one then. Jesus is always the right one. He was always the right one even when the prophets were speaking and they were talking about the shadows to come. They couldn't fully see the Messiah, but they could speak of something of what God was going to do. And they spoke of that. They were talking about the one who is always the right one. And today, if you're looking for people to listen to the people who point to the right one, who's always the right one. Because today, anyone that you hear speaking isn't the right one, isn't even the right one for right now. Jesus is still the right one. We're just looking for those who speak and point to him consistently, clearly, beautifully, seeking to do his will. We don't need to find the update. to see if there's a new, better, non-expired version of the right one. There is no new Jesus card or right one card out there that has a better expiration date. Jesus is the card without expiration. Want to find out what's true, what really matters? It's always going to be Jesus. Yet, what do we do that we're being told not to do here in this passage? Why is this all being laid out? We keep going to secondary sources. Maybe over the Christmas season, you'll go to a party and you'll be talking to friends and everyone's just sort of talking about the past year. And it seems like for an awful lot of us, 2025 has been a really hard year. It's been a tough year. But maybe you're talking about, let's just take a more positive spin to it. You're talking about your favorite things. And you went and you saw some big newsworthy event this year. Doesn't really matter what. Just try to imagine the most exciting thing that you saw this year. Maybe something that actually did get news coverage. And you were there at it. And another friend, well, he wasn't there at it, but he watched it on television. Or he read about it in the paper, on the web, or wherever. And so the two of you are there, and there's another friend, and the friend asks about it, and you start to talk about it, and then your friend who saw it on television or read about it on a blog starts saying, oh yeah, and starts filling in all the details. And we've all been in these situations, right, where you've actually witnessed something, someone else has read about it or heard about it, and that person starts talking about it, and what do we think in that? Hey, but I'm the one who was actually there. I can tell you about it. Maybe you're sitting around the family dinner table and you have a relative who lived through the Great Depression and is telling about it, and someone else starts spouting off what they read about in her history book. Well, it might be better to listen to the person who's actually there, right? We've all been through this. We've been through it where we've been the person who had the secondhand knowledge. We've been through it where we're the person that has the firsthand knowledge. And we've been the person who's trying to decide what to listen to. We've been through that in our lives. And a lot of times when it comes to God, we don't even realize it, but we're playing that same game. It often becomes pretty apparent pretty quickly if we're the person trying to listen to the story and there's the one person with firsthand experience and the one person not. But so often, ironically, when we're talking about the things of God, well, we start to listen to the person who comes up with something new or starts to talk about what they think might have been. And what we should say is, but what does it actually say where God spoke finally and authoritatively? Because there's nothing better. We can't get better than that. I don't want to hear the secondhand speculation of what God might think. How about the firsthand God actually reported it and revealed himself in it? Report that I can actually know it. Because, you know, sometimes it's not always clear from that secondhand perspective. I've been someplace before that wasn't very crowded, but then it turned out it looked busier in the pictures. I mean, people say, wow, that was really packed. No, it wasn't. It was just the camera angle, right? So often when we let people reframe scripture and take us away from actually saying, what does scripture say? They kind of change the camera angle and it changes the feel of it. Might be some of it there, but after this, you should go and open up Hebrews 1, read the whole chapter again. Every week as we're going through this, we're going very slowly through it. So you could reread the whole chapter every week. And you know the beautiful thing if you did that? Well, then as we're doing it, for one, you're anticipating where it's going. But also, you're not just taking my secondhand word for it. You can go be a firsthand witness to the actual revealed word of God. And isn't that amazing? We can actually do that. We should go to the right source. We shouldn't settle for less. We don't need to settle for less because all those other right ones allegedly out there, they're not. Best we can find is voices that we can listen to who point to the right one. Because Jesus is the heir and he's the maker. And the heir and the maker, the right one, the always right one, what did he do? He chose to reveal himself to us. And that's what happens at Christmas. That's what we should seek at and yearn for and hold on to this Christmas and every Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your word, for your gracious revealing of yourself, that we can actually know who you are. You don't leave us to wonder. Lord, would you guide us and help us to see those places we're willing to listen to the person spouting off a secondhand report. Help us to instead listen to the voices that we have opportunity to hear in our lives and read that pull us back to the first hand, that we get the eyewitness. Because we have an incredible miracle that the God of the universe came into this world. That's what we celebrate right now. And when we acknowledge that, let us not seek after anything less than actually encountering the one who has come into this world and saved us. Pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you haven't yet sought after Jesus and said, I know I've been seeking after these other right ones. I've tried to be the right one, but it hasn't worked. Make tonight the night you say, I'm ready for the first hand. I don't want the spirit story, or I want the permanent, the real answer for that space in my life. Take down that temporary banner and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Confess your sins. He will answer that prayer tonight. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, you can always text us at 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Or you can go into the comments below this video, and our church family would love to pray with you. So great way to reach out either way. I do want to mention that we have our Christmas Eve service coming up. It's just over a week away. And so that's on December 24th at 7 p.m., both in person and online. I hope that you will come and join us for that, either online or in person once again, and consider inviting someone to that. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to connect with the real one, the always real one. That's what we're going to be doing. We as a church want to show that real one to the world. One of the ways we do that is through the different outreaches we do. We're doing our Christmas gifts to kids outside of Guanajuato, Mexico, once again this year. And I know some of you have been asking. If you haven't yet, it's not too late to give a gift towards that. You can go on to our giving system. And then just, you can, again, text to that number, 833-356-4032. Just let me know, or contact our treasurer, Jeff, let him know, one of us, that you've given that gift towards that project, and we will make that happen. In fact, Joyce and Cindy are going to go to the Christmas market down there and pick up the gifts later this week so that they can get them over the Christmas week to the kids in Mexico. And that was just wonderful. I'll make sure to share the pictures after they do. It will be exciting to share that. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to say we are those who are caring for others because we know the real one who cares for us. And that's what we want those kids to hear, is they're receiving those toys and that care. Is the reason we do it is because of Jesus. That's why we do what we do as a church, why we have Christmas Eve service and everything else that we do over Christmas. So I do hope that you'll join us for all those things, and do stay tuned for the exciting follow-up about that project down at our Southern campus. It will be so exciting when that happens. But in the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. Hope to see you this weekend and then back here on Monday night. I'll see you soon.